Today on Real Life Radio.
Did you know that every one of us who are believers, God has established a path of life to live that's unique to you, just like a snowflake. It's your life to live. No one can live it but you. There's a ministry that you as a believer are to fulfill in this world that I need you to live that life. You need me to live my life that's been ordained by God. We need one another.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Jesus Christ, Lord of All. You know, this series gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here in chapter 6, Jesus compares the law to spiritual life and legalism compared to God's grace. You see, Luke's desire is to draw our attention to the fact that there's something to be learned between what the Lord intended the law to be and what mankind has really turned the law into. Systems can be corrupted, and something good can be made into something bad. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that the Sabbath is about love. It's not about legalism. With Jesus being the author of the Sabbath, it's through his offer of salvation that we can enjoy a spiritual Sabbath every day with him. Now in his message called Jesus Christ, Lord of All, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
They had to live a Sabbath life in such a way that brought the Messiah to the nation. And did you know that doctrine still is around today? It's permeated Christianity. If we just live good enough and right enough and take over everything, then the Lord will come back. It's called dominion theology. It's from the ancient rabbis. It's caught on and still goes around today. We'll make a world worthy for the Lord to come back too. The Pharisees believe that. We'll keep the Sabbath in such a way. So you see, they saw Jesus as a direct attacker to what they were hoping to achieve, even though God never said that in the Bible. It was a tradition. How many traditions do you and I keep that we would almost defend to the death? And they're not even biblical. God doesn't even care about them. It's best to obey the Lord and not be sidelined by the traditions of men. Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Here Jesus is standing before them, the Lord eternal. They had the announcement 33 years earlier. The angels announced that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 2, that this is the Jesus who was eternal. Isaiah 7, 14 and Isaiah 9, 6, that he's the eternal Savior of the world. But the Bible says in John 1, 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him. He's the creator. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own people, but his own received him not. It's amazing. Second point this morning, verses 3 and 4, Jesus Christ, Lord of all, he's the Lord of man. Did you know that? The Lord is the Lord of mankind. He presides over us. I know sometimes you look around this world, you wonder, what in the world is going on? Man, church, I tell you, all the world events that are happening right now, it's making it really easy for me to very soon break our normal studies and get into some prophetic teachings of the Bible. Because man, what's cooking in the Middle East is radical. And you can read Ezekiel 36, 7, 8, and 9. We could see the stages of that coming together with the treaty between Russia and Persia right now and this crazy president of theirs. My goodness, what an amazing moment. The U.S. distracted by terrorism. Israel out there, vulnerable. Iran launching that rocket with multiple warheads as a test to strike Jerusalem. Wow. What an amazing time. All there in Scripture. Anyway, that's for another study some other day. Second point, Jesus Christ, Lord of man, Lord of mankind, this way, that we are created in the image of God. The Lord has made us in his image. The Bible says, verse 3, and Jesus answered and said to them, have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? Did you guys hear that? And it's even more powerful in the Greek. It's a sarcasm. Did you get it? Did you hear him? He says, have you not even read this? He's challenging them. This is amazing. Haven't you guys read your Bibles? Jesus knew the answer. He knew what their answer would be. And he knew what they knew, and he knew what they didn't know. So he says to them, have you not read this? Their response naturally, predictably, would have been just like this. They probably looked at each other. What was he thinking? We are the Pharisees. We're the scribes. Of course we've read it. We know the Bible. We can quote it back and forth. We've read 1 Samuel 21. We know all about that. Yes, when David was walking through the fields, he was hungry, so he came to the temple. He was there, and he was hungry, and the priest gave him the bread that was dedicated to God and to God's people, the priest, and nobody else. Yes, David ate it. We know all about that. That's what happened, you know, in 1 Samuel 21. David and his men were hungry. They came, and the bread was dedicated to the Lord. It was the show bread, the bread of the presence, it's called, of God, the bread of the presence. It was dedicated to the Lord, and then when it was presented to the Lord, then the priest alone could eat it, nobody else. But David, who was a general of Israeli forces, right? He's coming through, he's hungry. He says to the priest, you have any food? The priest says, no, we don't have any food, but we have the food the bread that's been offered to the Lord and to the priest, which alone are supposed to eat. And David says, great, praise the Lord. We'll take that bread. And the guy goes, okay. Why? They understood. Love, life, and limb. More than rules and rituals. Do you understand that? This is vital. This will set you free if you get it. Man, I just feel so burdened all the time in my Christian walk. It's so heavy. It's so hard. Why, my friend? Why are you so burdened? What's on you? I guarantee you, Jesus didn't put it on you. The Bible didn't put it on you. My goodness, people, we should be the most excited. What's the word? Free, light. People on the planet, people, if we lived biblical Christianity, people should be saying to us, what is with you? Where did you go to like a seminar somewhere? How much did you have to pay to get this peace in the midst of all this stormy life? You know, that's what the early Roman Empire said. Look at them. They've been with Jesus. That's what they concluded. Look, they got peace and joy. They're happy and glad. They've been with Jesus. God's created us in his image. He loves us. Isn't it amazing? He didn't create angels in his image. He created you. Isn't it radical that when Jesus came to earth, he didn't come in the form of an angel? Did you know that angels are not redeemable? If an angel sins, that angel's gone, man. That angel goes to hell. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. Angels cannot be redeemed. Jesus came as a man because the message of the gospel goes out to mankind. Mankind's redeemable. Aren't you glad? I am so glad. A friend of this church, many of you know already, a friend of ours was riding his bicycle yesterday in Chino Hills State Park and was killed as he fell over the front of the handlebars and died. That looks like an accident to us, huh? Feels like an accident to us. Did you know that God knew all along? Did you know if it wouldn't have happened that way, it would have happened some other way because it was his day? That the Lord wanted him to come home. Is Jesus Christ that big in your life? And have you understood that when the scripture says he made man in his own image, it's because he loves us, not to penalize us? Jesus knew what was in their minds. He knew what their answers were. Jesus said again, I said it a moment ago, Mark 2:27, that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. But they had missed that. They missed the spiritual meaning of it. And they had erred. Verse 4 teaches us that we've been created for his purposes. He says, don't you know how David, when he went into the house of God and he took and he ate the showbread and also gave it to those who were with him, which it was not lawful for him to do, but for the priest only? See, the Pharisees delighted in the judgment of it. God delights in the life of it. The Bible says we're to call him Father. He turns and calls us children. Do you understand that when you read the Bible, the spirit behind it, God gives the Ten Commandments. They're immovable. They're impregnable. They're granite. They're there. Perfect. And then Jesus comes along and he tells us they're exactly perfect. They're exactly right. And guess what? You can't keep them. I'll keep them for you. If you put your faith and trust in me, that righteousness will be imparted, imputed to you. And I will extend you. I will give you my righteousness. The Ten Commandments screamed holiness, but no man was able. You say, well, Jack, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, then think this through. He gives the Ten Commandments, and then he gives offerings and sacrifice requirements when you break them, because man couldn't keep them. And they stand there, perfect, they're wonderful. And every culture and civilization that upholds them is blessed of God. When you begin to tear them down, throw them away, that nation comes apart at the seams, as we are witnessing in our own land. God loves us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that God has created us for his purposes and that God wants to work these out in our lives. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand that we should walk in them. Did you know that every one of us who are believers, God has established a path of life to live that's unique to you, just like a snowflake. It's your life to live. No one can live it but you. There's a ministry that you as a believer are to fulfill in this world, that I need you to live that life. You need me to live my life that's been ordained by God. We need one another. Do you understand that? If we lived our lives pursuing God's purpose for our life, there would be no greater benefit than for you, Jeff, or for you, Steve, or for you, Rob, or Donna, to live what God's called you to do. I'm blessed by that. You, but Jack, what if it takes us to India? I'm blessed by that. It's not me. It's not this church. It's not this community. It's beyond all that. It's the kingdom of God. Tom, Doris, God's calling them to Indiana to start a church. I'm blessed by that. What God calls you to do, others around you will be blessed by that. Whatever you do physically to his glory, God has engineered a spiritual power and a truth to it. It's a wonderful thing. We live for his purposes. He's the Lord over our purposes. He's also, listen, he's also the Lord of man, and that we've been created for his will. Very briefly on this, I just derived this out of verse 4 because it ministers to me. In John chapter 4, Jesus says, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, the comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit. When I think about how I've been created for his will, you've been created for his will, there's no greater feeling in the world than to live for God's purposes and God's will in your life. Jesus said in John 15, I send you out as you abide in me. I send you out and I want you to bring forth much fruit. Just have a very productive, fruitful life. Doesn't that sound wonderful, you guys? Are you guys with me, everybody? That's good news. What does God want from me today? To live a fruitful life. It's beautiful. Okay, third and final point. Jesus Christ, Lord of all. Verse 5, he is Lord of all. And boy, is he going to say it, and is it going to be radical? You guys, I wish we could have watched their eyes. You know, you could have like, when he says what he says, when he says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, you guys, these priests would have had their head covered in some way, shape, or form. They would have had maybe their prayer shawl over their head, or maybe like a turban type of thing on their head, or you know, the little yarmulke thing, the kippah on their head. Jesus says, tell you what, you having a hard time with that? Check this out. The Son of Man, he's Lord of the Sabbath. Eyeballs bulge, turban flies off the top of the head, steam blows out the ears. You can see the yarmulke. What? We don't get it, what he's saying. I tell you what, if you walked into Israel today in the 21st century and said on a bullhorn, attention everybody, Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, you'd be arrested in 5 minutes. You'd be labeled as a heretic. They'd probably deport you or throw you out of the country, man. You know why? This is what you're saying. Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Lord over all, he gave you the Sabbath. He made it. He created, he gave it to you. He can do anything he wants with it. That's what he's saying. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. That's why these guys, Peter probably reached for smelling salts at this moment to help them out. Over the top amazing. Why? Because he's the Lord of Revelation. Quickly jot it down, we'll be done. He is the Lord of Revelation. He's announcing the truth. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19 that Jesus Christ has a name that nobody else knows, and that his robe is dipped in the blood of his enemies, and that when the door of heaven is opened up in Revelation 19, as he begins to descend to the earth in the second coming of Christ, written on his thigh, remember, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it says that he has a name that no one else knew but he himself, and his name is the Word of God. That's Jesus. He was saying, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. He was saying to them, hey, I gave you and your fathers, I gave the Sabbath to Moses. You see why they freaked? You see why from this moment on they wanted to kill him? When you don't receive Jesus, when you don't accept Christ, when you won't believe in him, you'd rather have him dead. That ain't going to happen. People already tried that. It's awesome. He's Lord of the Sabbath. When he says that he's Lord of the Sabbath, keep a few things in mind and we'll be done. It's this, that he's the Lord of interpretation. In other words, he tells us what the Bible means. The Bible says of itself, by the way, it's not open to any man's private interpretation. Well, this is what the Bible means to me. That's how cults are born. He's the Lord of interpretation. Let the Bible and the power of the Holy Spirit speak to you. Don't read stuff into it. The Bible's well able to speak to you. And then finally, when he says, I'm the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath, he's the Lord of manifestation. There, he's standing in front of them and he makes this statement. You guys, this is radical. They understood that he was saying, I'm eternal. What? I talked to Moses. You what? I talked to Abraham. No way. I was at the creation. I was creation. What? I'm the Lord of all. Kill him! He tells them. I can't handle it. And I want to leave this with you. When he says I'm Lord of the Sabbath, oh my goodness. I can't read my New Testament long without coming to the word Sabbath. Jesus was taken down from the cross, and he had to be taken down from the cross because the Sabbath was approaching. The disciples laid in waiting and hid for fear from the scribes and Pharisees and the Jewish leadership and the Romans all Saturday, remember? But very early in the morning, we celebrated it last Sunday. They went to the tomb very early in the morning and the stone had been rolled away and he was already gone, wasn't he? After the Sabbath, they went to the tomb and he was gone. He was risen. He's Lord of the Sabbath. At creation, when he was all done, he rested and said to me, I need to rest also from my labor so I'm not burned out as a person, and that I honor God in my spirit and that I'm healthier and happier. Wow. But there's more. He rose again from the dead. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our Sabbath. When he rose from the dead, we now enter into that rest. I'm free now. Well, how free? What kind of free? This kind of free. One verse and we're done. I forgot where I wrote it down. I'll find it. It's in Colossians 2, verse 16. Check this out and we are done, and I'm done arguing my case. It's this. So let no man judge you in food or drink or regarding any festival or new moon or Sabbath day, which are just a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. You see? Tomorrow's my Sabbath. I got news for you. Hope this doesn't upset you too much. Technically, today's my Sabbath too. Yesterday was my Sabbath. Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and of course Monday. You want to know why? Because I get up in the for me personally, it's just for me. I get up in the morning and I worship God. That's my Sabbath. Okay? I worship Him. Yeah, but don't you have to go to work? Of course I have to go to work. But you know what? Jesus said, "It's finished!" on the cross. And then to top it off, He rose again from the dead. All in relation to the Sabbath. He's my rest. So even when I'm working hard, He's my rest. I don't sweat anymore. I'm not sweating heaven. I'm not sweating hell. I know where I'm going. And I'm quite happy about it. Because He did it all. He's finished it. I just get to rest. I get to enter in. Even when I'm serving Him at my hardest, I'm still resting inside. I'm not sweating anything. I get to serve because He did it all. I'm not doing anything to fix that or earn that. Do you understand that? Do you know that? Oh, man. Whew. Every day is a Sabbath for me. Paul says in the book of Romans, some man may esteem this day high, some man may esteem the other day higher. Paul says, I've learned to esteem every day the same. That means every day is the day Jesus Christ rules and reigns in my heart. Is it true for you? I hope you understand that He's Lord of all. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we ask You, Lord, that this truth would reign in our hearts now as we go from this place today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, forever, until You come back for us. May we, Lord, be Sabbathing with You. And in a very physical way, Lord, may we begin to discipline our lives to maybe give up some of those things that are keeping us from Sabbathing with our family, Sabbathing with our kids, that we'd rest, play, eat, fellowship, talk about God, enjoy one another, enjoy You. Lord, we pray that You send revival to our church, revival to my heart, our hearts, revival to our state. Lord, send revival to our nation. And we know if that happens, Your word will be honored. And the Bible says, those who make God the God of their nation, happy are those people. Lord, come back to our nation. Lord, come back to our families. Come back to our churches. Come back to our homes. And Lord, find peace in our hearts as we focus on You, Lord. You, the Sabbath of our souls. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Jesus Christ, Lord of All. Thanks for being with us today. You know, Jesus Christ, Lord of All, is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. I love days like this. I've got Pastor Jack in the studio today.
You know, a lot of folks call Christmas their favorite time of year. I got to tell you, Thanksgiving is at least a close second, and I got to tell you, it's my favorite time of year to cook, right? But there is something quite significant about Thanksgiving. Tell us about that, would you?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's my favorite time of the year to eat.
Yeah, good point.
And for me, it's not a second. I hate to disagree with you, Davey, but Thanksgiving is my favorite. I'll tell you why. It's because it's the only American holy day.
Interesting.
Yep. Israel, the Jews, they have many holy days.
Right.
Many countries have no holy days, but America has one. We only have one official. We only have one official holiday or holy day, and that is Thanksgiving Day. It's uniquely American. It's uniquely religious. It's uniquely Christian, and it is unique in that it's only happened once in the world, and it may most likely never happen again, and that is that God founded a nation, and it's always right, I believe, to read at the Thanksgiving table what we like doing at home, and that is the Mayflower Compact.
Yeah.
It's two paragraphs. It will take you probably 45 to 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And it tells you why there's a Thanksgiving, why there's an America, and why we have our liberty and freedom that we do have, and why this is considered a nation that's built on Christian values. It's all there in the birth certificate of the United States of America, the Mayflower Compact.
Thanks for your time, Pastor Jack. To all of our Real Life Radio family, happy Thanksgiving. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.